Well, you know, an interesting related topic to that is when you first said that over dinner, and I said, you know, another place where people have that self-dialogue is salary negotiations. Yes. A lot of time, even when you actually look at the salary and look at all the research and go, wow, they offered me something pretty competent. Have you had an example of even that? I assume you have, just because I've even had that happen to me. And I feel like even at our levels, we tend to still have that inner dialogue and be like, should mm-hmm. I negotiate? What if I negotiate? And they don't accept it and they think I'm overreaching. So I'm curious whether that's something that also plays into what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's a great point because it's so true. It does apply in that area as well because nobody really sets that. You know, it's like there's not really it's all dependent on how, what you think you're worth and what they think you're worth, right? And so you don't know what each other is thinking.
Right.
But if you tend to feel like you are worth it, you are worth what you are asking for, then it's more likely that they'll agree than if you come in very timidly and giving yourself a lower range. If they're, because that conversation always comes up in interviews, right? Is like they ask either, you know, they ask what you're looking for or where you're at. I always tend to focus on what I'm looking for because that's really what's more important, is that we have to agree on that's what
the role.
Yeah. And that's both are a good fit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say, time and time again, that's also something that I've done is, you know, I tell myself, I don't sell myself short on the salary. The worst thing that can happen is they say, you know, that's just not within our range.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide, okay, well, do we still want to continue the discussion, or are we just too much not on the same page?
So tell me an example. It sounds like you have a few, but tell me one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it kind of gives me an idea of how you went about thinking about it.
Sure. Yeah. So, I was with Deloitte for about 4.5 years. And at the end of that, I wanted to, my next career move was going to be more specific in the area of marketing. So, you know, I had begun my marketing career within Deloitte, and the next place I wanted to work, I wanted it to be a marketing agency, because through Deloitte, I worked with a few agencies and thought, that's where the creative fun part happens. So, so I wanted to work for an agency and went through an interview process with an agency I really liked down in LA. And just thought, though, you know, at that time, I did. My inner voice was sort of self-doubting in the sense that I thought, well, this is a career change. You know, Deloitte is a big consulting firm, whereas, you know, these marketing agencies are very specific and focused on marketing, and they probably have people who have done marketing for at least the same amount of time that I was with Deloitte or more, and I didn't have that background. I had the consulting background.
Right.
I just thought, you know, if this is sort of like a career change, I may have to take a step back in terms of salary.
Or a lateral move, at least.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So that was my expectation, my inner, like, sort of where I boxed myself into.
Uh-huh.
But because of some of the experiences I had had before that and how this whole concept of shooting for farther than you even think you're capable of, you know, I decided, well, I'm going to shoot for farther than I think that they would.
What's the worst that could happen, right?
Exactly.
That's what you learned.
Yeah. So then in that case, when it came down to salary negotiations and they asked what the range I was looking for or, you know, give me a ballpark type of thing, I gave them a ballpark that I thought, there's no way.
Okay.
But I thought,
you had logical reasons probably for the ballpark.
Yeah, and I thought,
you weren't sure.
Yeah, and I based it off of, you know, so the low end was kind of what I thought might be like the best that I could get.
Right.
And this is just based off of, you know, just sort of anecdotally or like things I had read online, where a salary would be at, and where I was at my consulting job. So I just came up with a ballpark that that was really higher than I would have expected
them to accept.
So yeah, okay. I would have been happy with the low end of that.
And what did they end up with?
Yeah, so I mean, they ended up within the range that I asked for, which I didn't even think that they would go for.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And they were happy and you were happy. And so it was worth asking.
Exactly.
In that sense, right? Wow. That's also, I think, you know, I've written articles about that. Like, always negotiate. Even if they give you something, you're like, wow, they already came in range.
Yeah.
Then there's still some room to negotiate because usually companies come in sort of the lower range anyways.
Yes.
And they have some room.
Absolutely. And they actually started out with a much lower, they kind of tried to set my expectations lower.
Right. Right.
So when I came in with the higher range, I didn't know that they would even, you know, I didn't know
that they already gave you a range that was lower than yours and you still said,
I mean, they gave a very fuzzy range.
They were kind of feeling you out.
Yeah. So they really wanted me to throw out sort of what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So when I had to take a stance or had to kind of put a stake into the ground, I made that stake, you know, as high as I thought, actually higher than I thought would be possible.
But you know, that I hear that story a lot when people actually go for it. They get surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it is a little bit of how much is our inner voice actually limiting our promotion salaries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, salaries when we make a move versus the external salary negotiations because we just decided not to ask for it. Right.
Yeah.